everyone, and welcome to Playwright, a podcast about creating and sharing new ways to play. Today, H is on assignment, so I will be your host, Q, or Ryan Quintel. And with me this week is a little bit of a Pixels Weekly reunion of sorts. It's Miss Sandy Batris. Sandy, how are you?
I'm doing great. You guys can call me B.
Oh, you just get to be B.
I want to be part of this cool, like, last name initial thing, so B.
Sandy, I so rarely say your last name out loud. I said it right, yes?
Yeah, you said it correctly.
Okay, thank God. Oh my God, could you imagine? Because I've told other people your name, and I feel like if I was saying it wrong, if it was Batris, is it Bat or Bait?
It's either one, as long as you
Wait
say
a minute.
BR.
Okay, yeah, right. Baiters or somebody saying bats?
No, people pronounce Bates. Forget the R.
Bates? Mm-hmm. Oh, no way. Not me.
Yeah.
So, Sandy, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing swell. Fantastic.
Should we have done the old Pixels? What was the Pixels Weekly intro?
Oh, I don't know. I would always say something silly and I would pretend to be somebody else, which I was planning on doing. Of like, let me pretend to be H. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you want to do a whole character, we can. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't have the accent or the tone. I was practicing it and it just doesn't come out. It's terrible.
H has such a silky, smooth voice, doesn't he?
So good. It's so easy to listen to. And I'm like, yes, I love it.
I like to think it's all that Seattle. He lives up in Seattle, or in the Seattle area. And all that Seattle rain, I think, is just smoothing out, giving him that smoky hello.
Mm-hmm. The clean air.
well, none of that for the listeners this week. If you don't know, what is this podcast? If you don't know, Playwright, we're here to pitch video game ideas. I pitch one, Sandy's going to pitch one, Q is going to pitch one, B is going to pitch one, and then, of course, we have a write-in from our community. But, Sandy, you were saying before we got on the air that you're a little bit mad at Blizzard, and I think we have a little bit of a standoffish relationship right now after the last BlizzCon, yeah?
Oh, yeah. So I buy a lot of collectibles, and I bought the BlizzCon goodie bag because I can't help myself. Mm-hmm. And I finally took everything out of the box, and I was so angry because everything was so cheap. It felt so flimsy compared to what I've received in previous goodie bags, and I'm like, I'm not doing this again for another event. I got magnets. I got cheated. I was cheated.
Magnets. Okay, so I feel like in a way, this is the year of disappointing, like, physical goods from video game makers. We had what, Bethesda in their nylon bag, and we had who was it? Well, now we have Blizzard here with this not so good goodie bag. I'm mad at them about Diablo. I don't want this mobile game.
Oh yeah, no.
But I've been playing Diablo on my Switch. See, this is the love hate. I've been playing Diablo on my Switch. I got the Loot Goblin amiibo, and do you know what it does?
No.
It opens up a portal to the vault. Do you know what the vault is in Diablo 3?
It's been a while. You have to refresh my memory.
Yeah, so the vault is essentially like a little secret. I guess it's probably not so secret because you can just pay $13 and go to it anytime you want. But it's a little secret room that you find a special treasure goblin opens up, and then everything there explodes in cash and gems and goodies. And by the time you're finished with it, it's just kind of like a single dungeon. And then by the time you're finished with it, your pockets are fat.
I want the treasure goblin. Well, I have a little one on my desk at the office, and everyone's like, this is so cute, I want one. And I'm like, well, you don't know what it is, so you can't have it.
Well, you know what? I don't think the treasure goblin they sell looks like the treasure goblin in the game. He's like decidedly cuter. It's like chibi treasure goblin or something.
Like the Whimsyshire one? Whimshire? The secret cow level?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So I've briefed you on how the show works. Are you coming equipped with a game idea today?
I do have a game idea.
Awesome. Well, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start.
Because okay.
I'm excited
for
this.
Fully ready.
At first, I was like stuck on Animal Crossing. Like, it has to be Animal Crossing related.
Okay.
So, I brainstormed with Aria. For you guys, that's my significant other. And we've decided on God of War, but make it The Sims.
God of War, The Sims.
So Kratos has to raise his son, but he also has to have a 9-to-5 job. He's got to go to bed on time, pee, and all that other fun stuff that happens in The Sims.
Okay. All right. So traditionally, once the pitch is over, we start our little timer and we discuss the idea for a few minutes and see if we can grow it, expand it, maybe see what works and what doesn't work about it. So let's start the timer. So one of the things I really like about this, Sandy, is for other than the fact that it's hilarious, because it is objectively hilarious, is God of War... is it 4? What is the is the latest one?
4.
It's just called God of War, right?
Yeah, but technically God of War 4.
Yeah, GOW 4 has a lot to do with Kratos' relationship with his son, but like the way you're really kind of managing the son is either through scripted stuff in the story or like video game-esque upgrades in a just buried in the start menu. So how do you manage, like, how do you imagine, like, it's going to be working with his, what's the son, Atreus? Is it, am I saying that right? Artus? Now I'm realizing I don't know the son's name, which is terrible because I beat that game this year.
I think Atreus sounds right. It sounds Greek.
Okay. All right. So how do you imagine, like, having to manage the son? Like, what kind of stuff can we train the son to do? Artus, I think.
It'll be like, basically... how your mom raises you. She's got to do the mom and the dad role. Very, okay. Very millennial, very modern. And he's got to be like, hey, kid, here's your hair, boy. Here's your to-do list for today. Make sure you don't die while you do this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so like we could... So it could be The Sims, but maybe occasionally monsters do show up. So it's like you have to make Artus like avocado toast one moment, but then the house is under attack. And this is a great... So Kratos' money is going to not only like caring for the son, but also like rebuilding parts of his house destroyed by these monsters.
Exactly. And with Norse mythology, you can pretty much just throw anything in there. There's a giant, an elf... there's always something happening. So it's like, make sure the boy goes to school. Make sure no one kills him at school. So if there's an emergency, you know, someone calls you on that cell phone, pick it up and go, oh my God, I got to go save my son. And make sure you pack his lunch and get him ready for bedtime.
Oh, okay. So the son obviously has to get some sort of like damage bonus / like penalty or something, depending on what time he goes to bed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play the most recent God of War?
I did not.
Okay, so there's a point in the game where the son is very, let's say, cranky.
Believe it. I mean, he's, like...
he's a little shit. He definitely gets cranky for sure. So what could we do to like manage the anger? Like, what are some of the chores that we give the kid to do?
Let's see. Just like cleaning the house, doing the dishes.
I'm really tempted to, okay, let's say, what if we expanded this a little bit? And I'm tempted to say, what if we did, yes, you can make Kratos and Artus together, but what if you could add other video game characters in it? So it's almost like The Sims turned into Big Brother for video game characters. So like what would happen if we had, okay, who is the mom? Cuz now we can cast the mom as anybody from any video game. So who do we get as the mom?
Not Princess Peach. She keeps getting kidnapped.
No, Princess Peach too much. She's too victim-y. Although she gets a little empowered in Mario Odyssey for sure.
She does. Samus.
Ooh, okay. Oh, Artus destroys pieces of the house, and then she can kind of roll up into a ball and get in. She can clean those hard to reach places. Or she can turn into a ball and Kratos and Artas can play catch with her.
Yes.
That. This feels a little dehumanizing for Samus, I'm realizing right now. But now Samus is in. Some of the monsters that can come are Metroids, right? We can get Ridley showing up and we can have Kratos, her, Artas all using combining their powers. So now it's almost Super Smash Brothers, but it's much weirder, right? Because you still have to, like, I guess you're going to see Samus poop in this game at some point.
I mean, everyone has to use the bathroom.
Everybody has to use the bathroom. Everybody poops.
Everyone poops.
I know. I read it in a book. So, I guess, like, I don't even know how she gets out of the suit of armor. We never see her take off pieces of the armor, do we?
Nope. She never takes the suit off. She just goes to the bathroom.
Oh, it's like a little, like, mechanical flap or something.
Yeah, it's like The Sims. It is The Sims, but who knows what they do.
So, if it is The Sims, I know in The Sims I can do, like, bedtime attire. So, I guess at that point she becomes Zero Suit Samus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With a little nightcap. Now
Kratos, Samus, who else do we add to this house? Let's get even weirder.
Let's give him a pet.
Oh, yes.
Let's give him Tekken King as a pet.
Who?
Because Tekken King from Tekken, he wears the mask of a jaguar.
Okay. King from Tekken. And you just called him Tekken King, which I really like. Tekken got there long before Destiny. But that's just a guy, right? He's also a pet?
With a cat mask.
I don't know anything about King.
He's just a wrestler and he's got a cat mask on it. So in this simulation game, he's a cat, but he can also wrestle.
So he would look maybe a little bit more like, say, a Funko Pop version of himself.
Yeah, like chibi-fied, like tiny, cute, but can also kick your butt.
Okay. I mean, if we're having pets, should we bring like a Pokemon element into this too and just do like Pokemon battles and the like? Because I feel like he's already a fighter. He's a pet. Are we going to see his sweet muscles?
Yes, of course. I mean,
okay.
Little chibi muscles.
Okay. I don't know if I like the sound of chibi muscles. That sounds gross to me.
It's so ridiculous, though.
Yeah. Okay. What you play The Sims, yes or no?
I used to a long time ago, I think.
Yeah.
The Sims 2 was the last time I picked up The Sims. And I know they're up to 4.
I think I fell off at, like, either The Sims 2 or The Sims 3. But what are other things we can do in The Sims? So I know we can decorate a house, which is cool, because we can put up... We can probably even give them little video game... Oh, we can give them video game consoles and let them play their own games.
That's so meta.
Yeah. And then there we go. We've just expanded the scope of this to include any video game ever made, because now you can play the games inside the game. This is maximum money we're going to make on this one.
Yeah, one of the expansions is Get Famous.
Oh, okay, yes. So wait a minute. No, King has no agency, right? Because King's a pet, but yeah, this could be famous Kratos, famous Samus, famous Artas.
Yeah, and like the kid could be like, I want to be a YouTube star. Here's how I'm going to get famous. Building my YouTube channel. Because that's what kids do these days.
Dang kids.
Yeah, and Kratos is like, no, you gotta go to school and get this degree. And I didn't kill this Kraken and put it on the table for nothing.
Okay, we're running out of time on this one, but what is the job that we give Kratos to do? What job would Kratos take up in The Sims?
He would be an accountant, you know?
What?
Yeah.
I was going to say butcher. You're going for accountant?
Accountant, because it's got to be the complete opposite of what he would do in a God of War game.
Okay.
He's an accountant. Well,
fair enough. That's 10 minutes, so let's pass away in our sleep. very dark. H is better at these segues than I am, I'm afraid. What do we call this?
Let's call this Sim God.
Sim God. I feel like there's Sim Ant. already too. So maybe Sim God works. What do, there's God of War Ascension.
Yeah.
What about God of War Ascension?
God of War Assimilation.
God of War Assimilation. Okay, perfect. We've got it.
Done.
All right. So, Cindy, this is very fun. Thank you. Thank you for doing the show. Okay. So, I have for you this week a pitch that is maybe a little strange, but let's try it out. So I'm imagining in my head a game a little bit that looks like either kind of Child of Light or Ori and the Blind Forest, something very painterly 2D platformer, where the main character has a flashlight and different sort of colored gels that they can put on the flashlight. And I want to use the emotions of color theory. And do you know anything about, like, color emotions, Sandy?
What is it, like, certain colors evoke certain emotions?
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got orange and, like, red, rage, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you got it. So there's, like, yellow is, like, excitement, and green can be amazement, or even, you know, green could be greed potentially, or blue is a very relaxing, and of course your reds are very exciting, and pinks, that's passion sort of stuff. So we're going to take that and we're going to use colors and shine them on different characters and objects in the world and get them to feel different ways, and there'll be all sorts of different little creatures and animals that respond differently to different colors of light. And you'll kind of platform your way around a level. Maybe you're doing a Metroidvania thing where you're getting new gels to combine and make new colors. And you are trying to sort of, I don't know if antagonize is the right word, but you're trying to sort of emotionally alter slash manipulate the creatures in the environment to help you solve different puzzles. Okay. That's it. Let's start a timer for 10 minutes and see if we can't get a little weird with this.
I like it. I like the idea of having the different emotions. And if you use the wrong emotion on a creature, it could be a boss battle.
Oh, okay, cool. So, like, maybe certain colors will turn a creature hostile. So you almost, like, need to experiment and use colors. And then maybe there's a logbook or something that, like, remembers how creatures behave with certain colors so you can refer back.
Yeah. I like that idea because it's, you think, like, let's say you have a creature like a fairy, and you think an emotion of happiness would make it cater to you a bit more, but it actually makes it extremely hostile towards you because it's, I don't know, it's a tooth fairy and it wants your teeth. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Like, if red light triggers a particular kind of creature, there might be some times where there's a lot of, you know, it's a very dense area, and so if you shine a light that's a very wide beam, you're going to hit more than what you just intend. So you have to be sort of prepared to deal with whatever happens when you shine the light on those creatures.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So I was thinking that maybe you would start off with some really, maybe just even red and blue, and then, like, the first thing you get is, like, a second lens so that you can combine colors. Or maybe we give you, like, you start with, like, red and blue, and then you can start combining colors once you get yellow. Obviously, blue and yellow is green, or red and blue is purple. And each of those are associated with different emotions, right? I don't know what red and green would be. Something kind of nasty? Something kind of... I mean, technically, it would be red and green together, I believe, is yellow?
Yeah, red and green are opposite, and then blue and orange are opposite.
Right, so you could do it based on either color wheel or the color spectrum. Yeah, I would imagine like combining those colors, we get different things, and maybe there's a way to sort of have different environmental puzzles where you have to, maybe you don't get the second lens and you have to instead like bounce the light off of things of different colors to like combine the colors with the environment and the environment provides.
Yeah, that's, and what would the puzzles be? Like, is it like Little Big Planet where you're trying to get something open to go from one area to the other, or is it just figuring something out so you can get a loot?
That's a good question. So I imagine, yeah, there would be sort of area unlock puzzles. And I was thinking that maybe we could start bringing in different types of puzzles into it. I actually started thinking about physics puzzles. Did you ever play Inside by Playdead Studios?
A little bit. Because okay. Yannick was always like talking about this game.
Yeah, so Yannick was like, oh, you have to play. So in that game, you can kind of, there's some puzzles that are almost like physics puzzles that require you to kind of coax creatures into certain areas. So I was thinking maybe like, you know, they say like show a bull the color red and a bull will charge at you. Maybe there's like something right. bull-like. You can get the bull to charge at you, but then you like quickly flash the color blue and that like calms it down and makes it very slow. So you kind of get it to charge. Once it's in the spot you want, you change to blue, it slows down, and then maybe that's helping you push a button or manipulate a platform, or potentially.
Now, is this a console game, PC game, or a Switch
game? We'll bring everything to Switch. It's going to be on all three of them.
I know.
But,
on all platforms.
But you know what? When you're talking about platforms, it makes me think that if this is a flashlight-based game, that it could be cool in, like, a PSVR, right? Because the Move controller actually has that sort of light-up wand with it. It doesn't even actually have to be VR. It could just use that awful Move controller because no other game uses it. This is really, we go from you having a very successful idea between God of War and The Sims 2, me saying, why don't we make something only for people with the PlayStation camera and Move controllers. But I even like the way that the PlayStation controller has that kind of colored light on the back of it that can change.
Yeah.
But I could see it on the Switch too, because you can kind of take a Joy-Con and it's got some motion to it. So you could actually physically point your flashlight to things in the environment.
And you could probably do like a co-op mode where two of you have it and then you each have a different colored light when you're in co-op.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to kind of combine it together to get whatever puzzle or whatever effect you're trying to get in the environment of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of having that lens, like you have to pair up and kind of work together to figure things out.
Yeah, imagine if you were like both in separate like little areas and you had co-op mode, but like everybody just has white light, pure white light, and like one person, oh, I've got something that I can kind of bounce it off of in my environment to get some red light over in your section, and then that person can take the red light and bounce it off of something blue and make some purple. And that's really cool. Okay. This is pretty cool. So we're combining colors.
Nintendo Online, you have to have Nintendo Online so you can play online.
Now you have to have Nintendo Online. Maybe you could do it. I don't know. Maybe there's a way to do it with two Joy-Cons.
But I think that's also, I didn't even think about, I was thinking about being in the same space.
Yeah.
But of course, like if you're cross-country or if you're not together, like that's a great way of kind of doing some portal troubleshooting where you have to figure out how to get from point A to point B, but also combining the different environments to get that specific color.
Yeah, you could even make it so if you're going to go like the portal route, you could make somebody like a robot or a character that can kind of spit color around, and the other person has like the flashlight, or one person has flashlight and the other one has a mirror to like bounce the light off an angle or something.
I would play this game, and I would pay full retail for this game.
Full retail price. This game would not come with a cheap peripheral. Okay, we hit the time there. I don't have a name for this thing. What do you think we should do with it?
It kind of reminds me of Inside Out. Disney, you should pick this up.
Yeah. Disney, call us. I'm tempted to use the word like spectrum of some sort, or what are some other good light terms? Ultraviolet could be cool.
Ultraviolet reminds me of that vampire movie.
Okay. What if we... Okay, I'm going to go super... We'll make it a 2D platformer in the style of a 16-bit game. And what if we called it Super Ultra Violet?
I like it.
She loves it. Sold. $60. USD.
Yep, USD.
Okay. Two down, one to go. Today's community pitch was written by Matthew A. Taylor... And he writes, Halo H&Q. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew. We really ruined it here by just having B and Q. Or, ooh, are we BBQ together?
We could be.
We could be. Anyway, Halo H&Q. I'm back again. Matthew last wrote us on episode 61 with a new idea. I've always loved two genres, and I think merging the two could be interesting. I am pitching a rhythm dance slash music plus 2D fighting game. Somehow combine the precise rhythm necessary for dancing games and the precise controls of a fighting game. I'm imagining that the fighters would move to the BPM, that's beats per minute for people that don't know, of a song playing, and attack special moves must be timed perfectly to be effective. Or maybe have a bad, good, great, perfect scale like DDR. Maybe each level could have a theme song, or a player could select the song before fighting. Perhaps each fighter could dance in specific ways to emulate different fighting styles and more common fighting games. I think that's enough for you two to get started. I'll leave you with the game names for inspiration, and we'll go through some of these names later, but we'll start with this from Matthew A. Taylor, 2D fighting game mixed with a rhythm dance game. What do you think, Sandy?
I actually really like this.
Me too. We've actually pitched something similar, Matthew, before, and I don't remember if it was me or H that pitched it, but yeah, what is interesting here and different is the idea of your attacks doing different amounts of damage, potentially, if they're bad, good, great, perfect. Like DDR does. Like, we have addressed, like, oh, you fight in time, and different stages could have different fighting speeds depending on the song or whatever. But this mechanic of if you're off time, let's say you get a bad score, you're way off time. What if you even gave your opponent health in that scenario?
Yeah, it kind of reminds... Have you seen Scott Pilgrim Saves the World?
I have, yeah.
So that scene where he's in with knives and they're playing the fighting game, but they're also kind of in sync.
Yeah.
It's like a ninja game.
Yeah.
If you mess up the combo, the dance combo, then in the fighting game, essentially what you're doing is you're dropping the combo, which means you're allowing your opponent to come in and attack you, which would do significant damage to you because... The whole point of getting it perfect is to kind of land the perfect hit and hit multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see... With Mortal Kombat, you queue up your moves. So it's not really in sync with the beats per minute.
Right.
Street Fighter is a little bit more technical. So it might work with Street Fighter. And then Tekken's interesting because you use the entire area of the map, so your fighters are moving around, but they're also attacking each other, so there isn't a corner to get stuck in. But he said 2D, so Tekken would be out.
Yeah, when I'm thinking about queuing up moves, like, what does that look like? I mean, when I think of rhythm games and, like, not necessarily queuing things up and being able to see in advance, there's always that kind of, like, scrolling list. So maybe there could be a scrolling list of, like, you can't actually do a combo unless you see it, like, scrolling forward on the list or something.
An interesting take on it, where you create the action first, and then your character moves.
Yeah, I know there was some I think controversy over this past year when Soul Calibur, the latest Soul Calibur, kind of implemented a rock paper scissors esque mechanic in it, where players could both kind of opt into this sort of moment where each of them pressed a button and it was one beats the other beats the other. But what I thought could be interesting here is, let's say maybe at certain parts of the song, after a verse, after a chorus, let's put a real cool J-pop soundtrack to this or something. and after a verse, after a chorus, you hear one of these things, and that's your moment to, like, gain special. So, or you know, the way that Guitar Hero has, like, the solo section. When you're in the solo section, suddenly all your moves are super moves, or something is unlocked, and both characters have to execute. Because what I'm worried about is, like, if one person gets the first hit and they never break that combo, then, like, the other person doesn't get to go, right? And that's not super fun.
Right, and that's not fun.
Yeah. So how do we let the other person be able to break the combo, other than the first person messing up?
That's an interesting problem, because with DDR, it's kind of, that's never been an issue. Usually you compare notes, and whoever has the most points wins.
Right.
I do like the idea of having a musical cue where you both perform something, and that will either give the advantage to one player or the other player. So if you're ahead and you don't really action as quickly on this cue, then your opponent has advantage, kind of like in Injustice, when you clash together, you have to hit a button really quickly and you either win the toss or lose it.
I wonder if we could do something potentially where these music cues are coming down, there's like some stream, you can tell where they're going to hit, maybe above the life bar, there's a little music track or something playing out. And there are key moments in the song where no matter, let's say it's a regular fighting game, just like Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, whatever. And you can fight your heart out, but if you don't, like, strike a pose, and maybe the pose deals damage, maybe it doesn't, but if you don't, like, strike the right pose or the pose that they're asking you to at the time they want you to in the song, potentially that could, you know, whether you get bad, good, great, perfect effect, like a stun, like that's how stuns are implemented in the game. Or you could do something where, like, if you hit every single one, like if you hit bad, you get stunned. But if you do good, great, or perfect, that's a little bit of a damage bonus multiplier for you. So if you're really kicking ass and you're striking poses in the middle of that, then you're getting this damage multiplier, and you get stronger and stronger over the course of a song. So as the song itself builds to a conclusion, the match is kind of naturally built that way.
My head's got Sandstorm just like in there. And it's just like in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what fight moves would we see in Sandstorm?
I mean, I imagine lots of spin kicking for me. I would like to see a lot of spin kicking. But
like a basic Ken, just like punch, spin kick.
Oh,
dragon punch.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know, maybe a high kick, maybe a high spin kick. I'm thinking Dhalsim would actually be the best at Sandstorm. Like, he strikes me as the one that's most poseable and flexible to hit his dance moves on cue.
And then you've got Guile. Guile's got the best theme song, so just use Guile's theme.
Oh, man.
On everything.
All right, well, now if when I or H am editing this, we'll find out who's going to do that soon. If we don't get the Guile theme behind the pitch, then we've messed up on this whole thing. All right.
It fits everywhere. So good.
Sandy, we've done it. We've come up against the clock here. So, Matthew gave us a couple game names to be inspired by a potential name. Space Channel 5, that's very good. Dance Dance Revolution, Amplitude, Frequency, Street Fighter, and Pocket Rumble. So maybe we can find a game name by smashing some of these. Oh, we've done it already. Street Fighter 5. Here it is. I really like the idea of, what do you think about, like, Frequency Fighter or something like that.
Yeah, Frequency Fighter sounds perfect and spot on. And then the theme song is just Sandstorm. I'm just kidding.
Wait, we don't have the rights to Sandstorm. Stop. TM.
But Frequency Fighters, and then it's just like FF, FF1, FF2.
Frequency Fighters.
FF Ultra 5.
I like the idea of the S at the end of Fighters. So it will be canonically Frequency Fighters, and hopefully it's successful enough so that one day we can have Frequency Fighters Channel 5. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Well, that does it for us today. Sandy, what do we do? How do people find you? How do people listen to you? I know you said that you've been recording some Pixels Weekly episodes and then not showing them to anybody. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm a weirdo. But you can still find me on the Twitter, PixelsCast.
Beautiful.
And everyone else, Pixels Weekly.
And you're still doing the Instagram stuff too, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Keeping it.
See all the fun stuff that I spend too much money on.
Sandy, you're absolutely the best.
You are. Also, you can find you guys on playwrightcast.com.
Wow. And you can go to playwrightcast.com and write in your pitch for an episode right there on the homepage. Or you can go to playwright.com or playwrightcast.com/pitch. To enter your pitch there if you're afraid of our homepage for some reason. And you know what else, Sandy?
What else?
Special thank you to Protodome for the use of our theme song, Hello World, from the album Blue Noise. It's very good. You should go give it a listen. That is when you're not listening to Sandstorm.
Exactly.
All right, Sandy, usually we end the show with a little mini idea to tease people and get them excited for the week. Why don't we do this? Because I didn't come equipped with a little mini idea. You, I'm sure, did you come equipped with a mini idea?
No.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count down from three. And when we get to three, we're going to do 3, 2, 1. And then both of us say the name of a video game. Okay?
Got it.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Civilization.
Animal Crossing.
Wow. All right. Well, Animal Crossing Civilization. That sounds pretty good.
Isabel Takes Over.
I love it. That's it for us this week. I'm sure H and I will be back on the job, but go visit Sandy. Check out the stuff she does. She's the best. Maybe one day we'll do a Pixels Weekly reunion episode, huh?
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. Okay. That does it. We'll see you next week, everybody.